So there is an excellent book I've recommended in the past called The Narcissism Epidemic by Gene Twenge, T-W-E-N-G-E. Probably the most important thing, there's like two important points to take out of that entire book. And one of them is that the word narcissism is thrown around way too much. At least if by it, you're going to refer to what psychologists mean when they talk about narcissism. So narcissism as a psychological distinction is a type of mental illness that is equivalent to or on the level of borderline personality disorder. That is, you're bonkers. You're bonkers, selfish, can't even see that other human beings really exist. The number of people that are on this level of spectrum is not as many as you would think based upon the YouTube videos talking about how there's narcissistic people in your life. Okay, so that's where we're having a confusion. I mean, it'd be like if I walked around and everybody that was like depressed, I started saying, well, you must be bipolar. Like that's just it's an over-application of the idea. All right. Now, that being said, narcissism is called narcissism because of a Greek story about a guy who loved himself so much that he stared at himself in a pond until he turned into a flower because he just had been there so long. The gods were like, well, I guess you'll just stay there. And then there's a flower called a narcissus, and it's a very pretty flower. And that's the story. And it's kind of like a morality tale about not loving yourself too much. So that's fine, too. So when you're out in the YouTube world, though, and you're running into all these people like diagnosing, like there's too much narcissism going on. You're dealing with people who are like probably meaning well in the sense of recognizing the high level of selfishness that is encouraged in our culture, which leads to dysfunctional relationships because people are unable to see each other. Mm. At the same time, many of these same counselors are going to be telling you that the answer is to love yourself more, to spend more time with yourself and all this kind of stuff, which is actually the problem in a lot of ways. So bringing my answer home, I said there were two things to say from that book. One was, again, that we overuse this term. The other one is that there is an increase in diagnosable narcissistic personality disorder in the American populace over the last 20 years. Like there are the percentage is higher, to be sure. And like if you're on your phone all the time, look at me. Like, yeah, it's going to happen. But I don't think that labeling other people with psychological dysfunction is the path to your own better function, right? So the answer to me becoming a healthy person is not realizing how many of these other people are unhealthy and having a way to say they're all unhealthy in this way. That doesn't mean that there's not a time where you're like, that person's really toxic. Like they actually just hurt me. That's all they do is hurt me. I maybe don't have to respond to that phone call, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the other side of this, right? But again, you don't have to diagnose them all with some sort of like label in order to do that. You just have to realize that every time you leave that person, you feel really awful. It's like, well, maybe I don't need to do that anymore. So I have a Bible verse to look at, but I'm curious for your thoughts here.
We have taken just one little thing out of psychology, this mm-hmm. idea that there are narcissists out there, and then we apply it in this very broad and general way, and that does harm.
Yeah,
the way that having a zombie dog
it does
can do to harm,
as opposed to trying to understand the selfishness of human nature and mm-hmm. Where it belongs in theology. We turn to a science mythology as a way of keeping the evil far away, right? Rather than recognize the evil is generally within. So I thought that Romans 2 kind of gave a nice description here of, and this is what human nature is, right? That we are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, right? Paul is describing what happens that brings about wrath, what happens that brings about judgment day. And he's not trying to say some people do this, not others, although he certainly is warning that there are those who act out on these things more than others, and that the more one acts out on evil, the more wrath is building up and sure to come, whether that is in this life or in the next. But again, he defines unrighteousness. The word unrighteousness is defined as self-seeking and not obeying the truth, right? Not holding to the truth. So to be righteous is to be not self-seeking and truth-believing. To be unrighteous is to be self-seeking and lie-believing, Right? And that's his definition there. So I think that kind of gets to the idea.